Accession number 20304, Reel 2.
Mr. Clark, Reel 2.
So we were taken on this Indian-type boat to Sicily, where I joined the 1st Battalion, Hampshire Regiment. And I was put into 15 Platoon C Company, number 2 on the Bren gun. Well, I had no idea. Anyway, they were about to move up to Messina, right at the tip, the north-east tip of Sicily, and to do some landings in Italy. And there was a beautiful sandy beach there, and we dug a little hole and got our blanket, and we were wearing khaki drill at the time, all nestled down, wait for a couple of days for these landing craft to come. And there was a thunderstorm at night. Never seen anything like it. We were absolutely drenched. In fact, we gave up lying on the beach, and there at the top somewhere, there was what seemed to be an electric generating station, which offered a little bit of cover. So we got in there and waited till dawn. And then they postponed it for 24 hours, decided we ought to go somewhere else. And we did embark on these landing craft infantry. And we landed, I'll have to have a look at my notes. A place called Pizzo. And it's up the instep of Italy. And we were lucky because we landed at the correct place. And we went actually onto a mole, or landing stage sort of thing. C Company was all right. So, and then we, this very steep terraced country with walls, like our in Northumberland, that, you know, dry stone walls, yeah. And in between, it was olive groves or almonds, I don't know. But I remember having a shot at a German who was running and leaping over these walls higher up. He was going like a hurdler. Well, I didn't hit him on that, I suppose. And then we moved up. One of the companies hit the German rear guard, and there was a terrible scrap up there. I don't know if it was B Company or not.
Which battalion were you with?
1st Battalion. The 1st Battalion. They went to Turkey in 1924. Then they went to India. They were up on the northwest frontier twice. 35, 37. They came, or shipped to Palestine and got a Palestine medal. So the three, 1935 KG5, 1937 KG6, and the Palestine bar for the General Service Medal. It was unique to Hampshire Regiment. No other battalion got that. And then they went up the desert with Wavell. 30,000. So they were all old soldiers, you know. And then they shipped them to Malta all through the siege, then came to Sicily. So in that sort of battalion, there was a lot of long service men, you know, 12 years, 7 and 5, and called back, or doing 12 years, or doing 21 or 18. They don't do 18, 21 anymore, do they? 21 years in service. And you do about 18 or 15 now, I think. So there was a lot of a lot of Urdu spoken, you know. Anyway, get back to they captured a couple of tracked vehicles, I think, on this road further up, and we moved up, dug trenches right at the top. I can't remember who it was, whether it was Messerschmitts that machine gunned us, or whether it was Tomahawks, the Yankee Tomahawks, we machine gunned in their trenches up the top of the hill. But B Company, I think they were attacked, and that fizzled out, and the Germans just withdrew from that particular area. And then we followed them up. We marched about 30 miles in a day, 32 miles, all the way along the lower road. And it was September the 8th, something like that, September the 10th. And of course it was very dusty, you see. And we, one or two of our 1500 weights and carriers, Bren gun carriers, go forward, you know, along. Of course, we were absolutely covered in white dust, gasping for a drink. And all the bridges had been blown. The Germans blew the bridges. But luckily, there wasn't an awful lot of water at that time of the year. So we sort of went through ankle deep. There wasn't very much yet. But I know I had a blister from the top of my foot there, right down to all over the foot.
Right on the sole
of the foot. On the sole of the foot, yeah, on one foot. But you didn't take your boots off, because your feet had swelled, you see. You wouldn't be able to get them on again. Well, I can say that I was absolutely exhausted by the time we got to the next point. Because, I mean, not doing any real training or real physical exercise after being, you know, on the boat and then at Philippeville and then into Sicily, there wasn't any. So we were a bit out of condition. And lugging the Bren gun, because it used to be passed, marching and be passed along, when number two had all the extra Bren gun magazines in a special pouch arrangement round the neck. You carried the spare barrel and various cleaning bits, and then your own rifle. And of course, they pass that over to number one. What, you gave me the Bren gun, then somebody else would take that. So we were, I mean, this was with our own fighting or our own kit, you see. So I wish I'd have been a bit more mature then, a bit stronger, you know. Being a bit, you're not mature at 19, are you? Yeah. Anyway, we got to the next position, and there wasn't much doing. But then we did another seaborne landing to try and get behind the Germans, because they were definitely moving away. Yeah. And this time, there was no landing stage or mole, or they call it. They managed to anchor the LCR, you see. Somebody, I don't know what they did, how they did it, I can't remember now. But it was flowing with the tide forward, you see. And the big Matlow says, "Go on, mate, yeah, go on, it's not deep down there, jump off." water. Yeah. Right. And there was nothing happened there, I don't think.
Where was this?
This was, no, I don't know. Well, 30, what is it? Let's have a quick look at this, I'll give you an idea. The last landing, I think we did another one actually, and that was at Sapri. And by this time, the Salerno landings had been successful eventually, and the pressure you know, on us down further down south, had you know, didn't materialise. So, and then of course, they said the Hampshires were in this brigade called 231 Brigade, the Mortar Brigade they called themselves, because on their tin hats they had the Maltese cross. They said, "Oh, the brigade's going home." Jolly good, I haven't been out here long. Just a job, get back home for Christmas, you see. And they had a rake through, and they said, "You haven't been out long enough." So they left us behind. And that wasn't just Hampshires, Devons and Dorsets as well. You know, they were all... And that's how we got drafted to the 5th British Infantry Division. And they just said, well, so-and-so wants a few. They want a few. And that's how I got into the 2nd Battalion. The Cameronians, brackets, Scottish Rifles, close the bracket, full stop.
Where did you join then?
Well, just... They said, you and you. I had quite a few.
No, where did you join?
Where? Ah. A place called a letter. A-L-U-E-T-T-A. Which was just... long. They were... They'd started off from a different point, 5th Division. They'd come up more up the centre... They'd landed actually on the 3rd of September, Cameronians. So, there wasn't much doing then until we moved about here and there in up to Foggia. That we were still in the 8th Army then. Moving up on the sort of on the right hand side, the eastern side. Canadians were about there. We went. Then the weather started to change. And we went to, oh yes, up to. Oh, yes, we took over from the Canadians a place called Bojana. I particularly remember this. And the place was quite heavily shelled while we were, you know, changing over. And we lined a sort of sunken path, a lot of trees along, and sent patrols out, things like that. Nothing much happened, and the weather became so bad, they said, find somewhere to shelter, you see. So we went into this, it looked like a chapel, there was no lights or anything, you couldn't see a damn thing, you see, matches, well, I mean, see anything. So we went in there, apart from going on sentry duty or stag, We settled down to a nice dry sleep. And we woke up in the morning. I said there had been heavy shelling. Now I think we'd had a few casualties, but there on a trestle was a coffin, blood dripping out of it. It must have been a civvy casualty. And this place was in an ossuary, you know, where they the Italians, when they bury people in their... They, after so many years, they take the bones out and the skull and put them in, and there were stacks of bones and skulls all around here. In the morning, I thought, what the hell is this? That's a bit of a fun, is. But then we moved more to up the centre. We had to take a place called Isernia in the centre of Italy. But there wasn't much... activity there. The other two battalions in the brigade, we were in reserve, I think, there. And there was no opposition anyway. But we were beginning to get into the hilly country and the rain. We spent some time in that area, further up from Australia. I can't remember the place names. And this was getting, must have been getting towards Novemberish now, September. Anyway, they did quite a lot of patrols. One or two disappeared altogether. I can't remember the name of the places, I'm afraid. Anyway, up in the hills, and it was absolutely, you know, mud, and was absolutely soaking wet most of the time. Very little hot food. And they used to eat bully beef out of a can. Cold, you know. And well, it was mostly, it was when the cooks got going, it was bully beef stew when they put some vegetables in it, you know, tin veg or McConaughey's stew, and then rice, of course, great staple. Porridge for breakfast, if you're lucky, with salt, of course, not sugar. And that's where I became a bit sick. There's terrible sickness in my stomach. I was on guard, guarding, I don't know what I was guarding, lots of boxes and things in the square. And I didn't feel very well at all. Anyway, in the morning, I went sick. And they sent me back to the MO. He had a look at me and said, back to the casualty clearing. I did a test on my water. Ah, oh, you've got jaundice. Yeah, which was probably most the cold and the fatty food, you see. So I went back by ambulance first. Dodgy driving down those mountains, path down those mountain roads. Then by train to Barrie on the East Coast Hospital. I didn't spend much time there. They soon got rid of the. I went all yellow. You see, my eyes went all. Whites of my eyes were yellow. All over my body was yellow. Anyway, that passed off, and I went to. Then we after I came out, we went to a sort of transit camp, very near Vesuvius, Naples and Vesuvius. So we had a walk up there. We didn't get right to the top there. It was erupting at that time in that in 43. Then of course I rejoined the battalion. But in the meantime, they had they'd crossed the Garigliano, and I joined them on the other side. They'd had not a very active time. They had to relieve the Wiltshires, who were in our brigade, because they'd been counterattacked, and they were just hanging on by their chin strap sort of thing. And we took over the whole of their area eventually, and that's where I rejoined them. And of course, the winter was here now. Very here. That's what you remember mostly, I'm afraid. A terrible weather. Yeah.
What's so terrible about it?
Well, rain all day, practically all the time. Next? We went to a place called Tufo. This was one of the objectives that the Wiltshire had, and we occupied it. And this was on the Minturno Ridge, which is the other side of the Garigliano. This is where I can't remember which is which. You can imagine, right up in the hills. You couldn't dig in, because it was stone underneath. Soil about that deep, Yeah, so you had to build
about
up.
3 inches.
Yeah, so you had to build up sangers with stones. Now this is where I'm very confused. C Company went up to relieve. I'm sure it was the coilies that they were in 15 Brigade, because they were regrouping and moving people off somewhere else, you see, prior to go to Anzio. I'm confused about this, but the tale is, it was quite a long approach march. We had to get up, you know, we crossed the stream, it started to rain, and we had normal equipment. You're probably carrying a few 2-inch mortar bombs, you know, gas capes over our overcoat and equipment. Of course, that didn't do your legs any good, because the heavy rain dripped off. And it started to rain, so we got halfway up. And there was a stream running down here, stepping stones, and we took over these positions on the forward slope, very steep, these terrace type things again, you see, like that, deep. And the trenches there were absolutely terrible. They're full of water because it was running down, started to seep through the bottom. We were, you know, through sickness, etc., etc., we were down to about 5 in a section, instead of 9. So I had the Bren gun with my friend, and we had a trench, and on the rear side, there was a hole, enough for one to squeeze in and have a snooze, you see. There was a standing patrol about 75 yards in front where you went out. There was a Bren gun, a lot of wet blankets, and they said, lay down. And we used to do about an hour there. It was only one man, you see, not two, out on the standing patrol. You listen, watch. Yeah, you could see all these things moving, you know. And then the Germans would have a little stonk with these Nebelwerfers, fire a few rounds from his Spandau, you know, just to keep you awake. And it was raining. It rained, yeah. And it still rained. And by the morning, the trench was absolutely, it was right up almost over your knees. And we tried to, we tried to get over some ration boxes and, you know, stand on them, but it was a bit difficult. And you see, you couldn't move during the daytime.
Because of?
Well, Germans would shoot you, wouldn't they? They were, although we were sort of in a dominating position, being on the forward slope, I mean, you couldn't move during the day. So that was very pleasant. Ha-ha. So eventually, the word came round, right, you're going to be relieved. Good. It rained. And we were told to move back, and I don't know what time of morning it was, or even probably at night, I should think, still. And we were clambering up these, you can imagine, the grass had all been worn away as the chats went up and down. You slid and you couldn't get up the thing and up the next one. And some battalion of the guards, I don't know who they were, but they relieved us. And they were going to dig new trenches further up the hill. We saw past them as we went out. And they had I don't know why they carried their large packs. But they were thumping them on the ground and saying, dig in, and the pouring rain. They looked absolutely. Anyway, the point of this about, I told you about the stream, we marched up. Yeah? I told you it was raining, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And when we got to this stream, our company commander, he put a jeep across here. It was running so fast, it was up to our waist, and he handed each man across. That's what I remember about that expedition. We eventually... this is what I can't remember.
You mean you put the jeep there to block the force of the water?
Force of the water. Well, it didn't really, because it came round it, but he stood in front of it, and he handed each man across. But I can't place them. I'm not sure where that was, if it was Tufa. When we got down, marched down to the bottom, I think there was a village there that had been knocked about very badly. And the quartermaster, the colour sergeant, he was dishing out rum by the spoonful. And I was the last one to get it, luckily. The other chaps behind me, they'd run out of rum. Well, where did we go? Well, we went back somewhere then and dried out. Of course, the rest of the battalion was still, you know, having a high old time. I can't remember where that was. Caserta, I don't know. But then we did these reliefs on the Minterno Ridge. They put a bailey bridge across the Garigliano at the bottom. What I mean is the Garigliano goes up there, and it's called the Rapide, yeah, where the Yanks were trying to get into Cassino, you know, and then British troops, of course. And this was further down, you know, near the estuary. They put a bridge, a bailey bridge across there, and that used when we used to go over. That used to be shelled occasionally, and then of course the frost came. And you couldn't dig in up on these hills again, because it was so. Not only was the soil only 3 or 4 inches deep, you couldn't get a pick in the ground when it was frozen. And at the bottom, it was all mule transport bringing up ammunition and food, and taking down casualties, of course. And at the bottom, the poor mules were now up to their hocks in mud. They couldn't get a brain gun carrier along there, stuck in the mud. They said it was the worst winter they'd suffered in that area, southern Italy, for 50 years. We did odd patrols, but nothing, you know, apart from being shelled and malted, and there was nothing, you know, no gung-ho stuff with dashing in with a bayonet and all this business. It was pure, typical infantry regiment, you know, just holding out. So after our final stint across the Minterno Ridge, we marched across the bridge again, and we had transport from there, 3 tonners. And of course, every time there seemed to be a changeover, the Germans always seemed to know, and they showed the place like hell. Yeah, but. I blew up one of the 3 tonners, I think. But no, I don't think we had any casualties when we got the other side. Then we went back to have a little rest, and then they were told us that we're going up to Anzio, because this wasn't at the landing stage. The poor old... who was it now? Oh, the 56, the old black cat div, they had taken a bit of a pasting, and we were going to relieve them. I don't know when that was now. Yeah, we can probably tell the dates from the